The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Bill in Milwaukee, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What's your solution to Chewy's dilemma?
The problem with the drink runs is Summerfest has changed their policy to 2 drink maximum per ID, and it has to be only your ID.
So we made an appointment for me to see Dinkin's doctor. He's just trying to humiliate me.
Uh-huh.
And I have to go. If I don't go, he'll know I'm lying.
Well, you got to play dumb. Honestly. You got to pretend like you don't know that. The first time you're going to go and you're going to get drinks for everybody, okay? And then you're going to come back with 2 drinks and go, oh.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He's going to think you're a mental patient.
I don't care. Look, Lloyd doesn't know what he's up against. This is nothing to me. My whole life is a lie.
See, it'll come back. She just likes...
Right, but it's also
she likes
easier
seeing me
for
in
her
pain.
To yell.
I
That's
think,
part of the
well,
problem.
Listen, can we reframe for a moment here, big guy? Maybe she just likes seeing you. Just stop,
no,
period.
Yeah, that's...
He's going to ask you about my arm. So just tell him I banged it against the desk, and it's been moving involuntarily ever since.
I can't say that.
Why not?
What if I like him? I'm going to start out lying to this guy?
So you're taking his side?
No, but what if we get married or something?
Alan in Milwaukee, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Do you have a solution to Chewy's dilemma?
The only thing that you have left that you can actually use is you've got to blame your coworkers. That's
Ooh.
It.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
The one thing on everybody's mind, no, not the start of the football season yesterday, not Tom Brady versus Dak Prescott, although that did kind of factor in, because that's what Chewy would rather have been doing yesterday, but the big question that is on everybody's mind, how was Chris Stapleton last night, Chew?
He's very good. Very good. Sheryl Crow was awesome. Summerfest, great venue. Love what they did with the renovation and all that. That is not my deal.
I was waiting for the but.
That is just.
I mean, this all sounded positive. This all sounded great, but you just still did not want to be there.
That is not.
All right, so let's start with what time
this.
Did you leave your house?
This.
What time did you leave your house yesterday?
4:30.
Man, for a 7:30 show?
Took an hour to get down there.
Okay.
Traffic was bad. So, you know, we were going to go and sample a little food. There's a nice little wine tent there that we sat at. I had a pizza. My wife had the Saz's little thingamajigger. The friends that got us the tickets met us there, hung out, and went into the show. You know what it is? I don't drink a lot anymore, so I probably had 2, maybe 3 glasses of wine. For someone my size, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Drunk people are annoying.
Oh, my God. So true.
Annoying. I'm like, please tell me I didn't ever act like this.
No, never.
Just please.
Can't imagine.
Knowing
some of the
I
stories,
did.
Some of the stories you've told. Can't imagine.
Which started out fine. You know, Cheryl, why? This is my picture of the perfect concert. You know when they in the old days they used to have concerts at the White House? And everyone sat in their seat and they were very quiet and then just, why can't we do that?
Because that's not what concerts are. That's like going
well,
to a Packers game and like, why can't we just sit there politely and... Nice throw,
but Gabe,
Aaron.
But Gabe, hold on. There's
Good
the
coverage,
mosh
Jair.
Pit. Right? Gabe, there's the mosh pit for those who have been to the amphitheater, right? Right well, in front.
Yeah, but you're not going to have a mosh pit. I can't imagine
there
was a mosh pit. I can't believe there was a mosh pit for Sheryl Crow.
But why can't there be 2 sections of the AmFam that says White House only?
Well.
Concert like the White House. Sit in your seat, watch, take a sip of your drink. Very pleasant. I don't need to get up and dance. I sat in my seat, and of course, everyone around feels very uncomfortable that I'm sitting in my seat. I don't need to get up and dance. I can just listen. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of all the concerts I have ever been to, and I don't think I sat in my seat other than like in between acts. You know, you've got the opener, they come out, okay, now I sit in my seat, but you're standing for the whole thing. That's what concerts are. You go to a concert, you stand for the whole thing.
Not me. And I am perfectly fine sitting in my seat and not bothering him. Why does sitting in my seat with people up around me bother people so much?
I mean, hey, bud, if we went to a concert together and you wanted to sit through the whole thing, more power to you. Granted, you sitting down, you could also probably see better than some people standing up. But so this bothered your wife, that you sat there the entire time?
But not my wife. The people around, sitting around. Why don't you get up and dance?
Complete strangers were bothered by this?
Yes! I'm like, A, I don't know one song, so it's kind of hard to dance when you don't know the words to any songs. B, I'm white. So I can't dance to a beat because I'll look foolish. Yeah. Like, I don't get why me sitting in a chair, perfectly minding my own business, not a frown on, just sitting there listening, why does it bother people?
Yeah, that shouldn't bother anyone. Now, if your wife was kind of bothered by this and thought maybe you weren't having a good time, but at this point, you guys have been together long enough, I think she would understand and know what to expect when she's bringing you to a concert. The fact that people around you were bothered, yeah, that's weird. Like, if I saw somebody sitting in a concert, I might say something to the people I was with and go, oh, that's kind of weird, and then go about and do whatever I'm going to do if I'm standing, dancing, what have you, but I'm not going to let it bother me.
No, and I'm the kind of guy, look, when my father came to my football games, high school, college, pro, he would read a book when the defense is on the field. So obviously I have my father gene. I don't understand clapping. I just don't.
Like,
am I crazy?
In general?
In general. Like, you know?
But I don't know. You're just showing your approval for something. That's all you're doing.
I don't understand clapping.
Put it on the poll. Do you understand clapping?
Now I'm curious. I'm wondering what the results are going to be. I'm a little concerned that people are going to agree with Chewy.
I mean, clapping is just... So you don't clap, like, ever? Or do you clap because of peer pressure?
My sons would play football games, and they do something back. All right, good catch. Yeah, good catch. All right, let's go. Let's go. We got to beat traffic here. I don't know. I've never been vested in a band or a team. You know, I had my team. Maybe it's just a Massachusetts thing.
Well, so when you coached both your kids in high school football, right? Both your boys?
Correct.
But
yes.
So that's a little bit different because you're not going to be sitting up there in the booth clapping. But when you attended your son who just went off to Minnesota, when you attended his football games at Kettle Moraine, you just sat, like if he made a play or somebody made a play, you wouldn't go, hey, good catch.
I think that's weird.
I'd give it a golf clap. Gabe, I'm huge on the golf clap.
Okay, all right.
Sorry, more of a...
So you don't understand the full-on big clap. You're more of a small clap.
Can we give us a,
that's
give us
a
clap?
That's a very nice play.
Give us a clap. Okay, all right. I don't know.
So when you go... Man, you're really going to be lost at the Ryder Cup, aren't you? You've got tickets to go to the Ryder Cup at the end of the month. Like, there's not a lot of golf clapping going on there, despite it being a golf event, because it's a different type of atmosphere. People are going nuts. They're going crazy for good shots. Are you going to clap at a good shot there? Like, somebody hits a good tee shot, are you going to clap for them?
Probably not. I'll just say, wow, that's a nice shot.
Okay.
Right? Now, I do have I'm very patriotic. All right, so probably the most emotion I'll say show at an event would be U.S. versus anyone else. That's why, Gabe, I always battle with you. I'm like, I don't want Rory McIlroy. He's not from here. I don't want him to win. Right?
Yeah.
I've always been that type of guy. But I don't know. Obviously, I get it from my father. Maybe I better bring a book.
Don't bring a book.
I will say this. Hold on, Ash. Mission accomplished last night.
Okay, so that was going to be the follow-up. What did you receive? Because when we left here yesterday, You were resigned to the fact that you're going to have to go to the Sheryl Crow, Chris Stapleton concert. You weren't going to be able to watch the football game, but you were going to have to negotiate something for yourself in this instant. What did you negotiate for yourself?
Oh, I didn't negotiate anything, Gabe.
What?
I didn't have to because the plan morphed as I got into the night. And put it this way, if I didn't have to wake up at 6 o'clock this morning, it wouldn't have been as bad.
Sure.
But you guys know me. I go to bed at 8 o'clock at night. So I'm 3.5 in the hole getting home at 11:30, right? So the plan changed as I got there to, like, you know, let's just make it uncomfortable enough. Uncomfortable enough. And obviously I did. And mission was accomplished because as we were leaving, because we were waiting for Tennessee Whiskey, the only song I heard, but I mean, come on, it's 11 o'clock. I got to go to bed.
Wait, so you did not even hear, I mean, because I would imagine Tennessee Whiskey, which is his most popular song, I'm guessing that was either at the end or part of the encore, and you did not see that song.
Did not. But he'd been on stage already for 2 hours, so I'm like, all right, got my fill. But as we are leaving the facility going up the ramp, she turned to me and said, I think I'll bring someone else next time. Yes.
That is mission accomplished.
Yes. So it worked out. I had the, you know, little bit of pain, little bit of sleep deprived, but mission accomplished.
Ultimately, mission is accomplished because now you do not have to go. Like, is that going to actually stand, though? Because I got to imagine that in all the years that you and Angie have been together, this is not the first concert that you guys have gone to. And I can't imagine that you were much different at the other concerts. So what makes you believe that this next concert is going to be Chewy free?
That's a good question. I should have videoed it. There is picture documentation, though. But it's just, you know, it's not
oh,
my thing.
Your seats looked awesome. I mean, you sent us, like, a three-second video of Sheryl Crow, which was really weird. But, like, your seats look great.
Gabe, and it would have been so much better if the concert had started at 2 o'clock. If it started at 2 o'clock, would have been absolutely perfect.
Well, then you would have been able to stay, and you'd have heard Tennessee Whiskey.
There you go. Yes. But it was a good, you know why? That's why you go in there at halftime. You make game time adjustments, right?
So what you're saying?
Made a game time adjustment right in the middle of Sheryl Crow.
So what was the game time adjustment?
Ruining the concert for his wife.
The game time adjustment was instead of getting something for myself out of this and negotiating it that way, get it to the point where I really need to go with someone else next time. Joanne, if you're listening, you're up.
Joanne, who is Angie's friend, who called yesterday and just told Chewy that he was screwed.
Yes.
That's pretty much what set the tone during yesterday's show. You can catch it Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. You can download it for free. Yeah, so that was... So
but
what, you just
on,
like sat there more?
Know,
like,
Gabe,
what did
Gabe.
You do? Like, what was the behavior that
Gabe,
that,
Gabe,
that
Gabe.
Prompted this?
Gabe, there's a handful of probably wives out there like this is one of the things you do for your wife. Yes, I agree with that. But I would never put someone in a position where they're so uncomfortable. Right? I can't think of anything that I absolutely would have to see or love, which the other spouse despises so much to make them go.
Well,
right?
So for example, is she coming with you? You are going up. One of your sons is a coach at Northern Michigan. So you are driving up to Marquette this weekend to watch his team play. Is she coming with?
No, she is not. But someone is coming with.
So instead of her coming with you, you had a friend stand in, much like we could have had Joanne stand in for you last night.
Correct. No problem whatsoever with it either. None. Zero on my end. None. You know who that other person is?
Is it Chernobyl Corn?
Chernobyl Corn.
For those playing
now
the home game, Chernobyl Corn
is
Chewy's neighbor.
Now the only drawback is I'm going to have to stop every seven minutes for him to take a leak because he's about 409 years old. But substitute. No problem whatsoever.
Will you at some point pull over on the side of the highway instead of making it to a rest stop?
Well, he wanted to bring in like a 100-gallon thing of water and dump it out for him to take a leak in my truck. And I almost lost it.
I can't imagine you being okay with a dude openly urinating in your vehicle.
Yes. So much to his surprise, that was shot down.
This is the person that Chewy is happy is going with him instead of his wife to watch college football this weekend in Northern Michigan.
You know why he's first man up? Because he'll want to go to bed at 8 o'clock like me. Man. Which is a perfect night for me.
Oh, that is a perfect night for you. Discount Liquor has two locations, 51st Oklahoma in Milwaukee, downtown Waukesha on Barstow in Maine. Look, I mean, football started last night. You've got college football tomorrow. You've got NFL football Sunday. You want to make sure you have your beer, liquor, or wine. Whatever you want to be drinking during the game, you want to make sure you have it. And Discount Liquor, the place to go, because they have everyday low prices. I understand. You walk in, it can be overwhelming seeing the rows and rows and rows that are filled with literally thousands of varieties of beer, liquor, and wine. But they have an expert staff to point you in the right direction to help you find what you're looking for. And Discount Liquor has served southeastern Wisconsin for over 60 years. They've always been locally owned and family operated. Discount Liquor, two locations, 51st Oklahoma in Milwaukee, downtown Waukesha on Barstow in Maine. Jason Wilde, coming up next.
All Packers, all the time.
I don't want to cast any aspersions. This just feels like there's something fishy.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
That would tell me that they think they can be successful no matter who they put out there on the offensive line.
Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
Before we get to Jason Wilde, do you have a text I want to get to on the ESPN Milwaukee Talking text line, 800-990-3776, as we recapped Chewy's night last night as he went to the Chris Stapleton concerts. Also happened to see a friend of show, Sheryl Crow, perform right before that. So Joanne, who is a friend of Chewy's wife, she hits us up on the talk and text line, 800-990-3776. Chewy, she says she is ready to take one for the team anytime. So Joanne is ready to step in next time you have tickets to a good show that you don't want to go to.
Nice. I'll let her know.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. It is time for Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason.
You went to the show anyway?
I know, and I heard the game was awesome, Jason.
It was a terrific game that I watched.
Jason, I can't see that being your deal either. Concert. You know what's really annoying, Jason? Drunk people. Holy smokes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are. I've never understood the getting drunk to the point where you really don't appreciate the event you're at, whether it's a great concert or a great game. I don't get that. I don't want anybody to try to explain it to me because I'll never get it. I would say that this is my favorite mistake that you've made. You should have let Joanne go. You'd have been fine.
Yeah, I know. Well, Jason, mission accomplished, though, because as we were leaving the place, walking down the ramp, my wife said, I think I'll bring someone else next time. Yes!
All right, well, you know what you're doing then. I take it back.
Jason, how concerned do we need to be about Za'Darius Smith? And I understand that's a very broad question, but it's intentionally broad because I feel there are a lot of things going on with him right now.
Yeah, I wish I had better answers, Gabe. I these are the kinds of things that really frustrate me in this job, is when I'm unable to answer what I think is a really pertinent question, right? I mean, this is significant, and we saw a pass rusher who's very good, who wanted his contract to be addressed in Pittsburgh yesterday in T.J. Watt, right? And he's now going to play in their opener, and I saw somebody calling these, instead of holdouts, they're hold-ins, where you report, but you don't really take part in anything. And again, until someone is completely honest with us about this, I saw Brian Gutekunst did a Q&A with Pete Doherty, and he said that it's absolutely a real injury. And I think my problem with this is that those two things are not mutually exclusive, right? You can have an injury and be disgruntled with your contract, and you can take an injury that normally would not keep you out and have it keep you out. And I don't, you know, when Ashton plays the Open there, you know, it says, I don't want to cast any aspersions, which is me talking about Sedarius like 2 weeks ago. But until we talk to him, or until someone is willing to say, this is really what's going on here, then it's a real struggle for me, because this guy's really important to what they do. And Matt LaFleur going on the record yesterday and saying that he will absolutely hold out Za'Darius Smith from this game if that's what they decide they need to do, because it's a marathon and he wants to make sure that he's healthy for the entirety of the season, tells me that they're still trying to figure out exactly how to deal with this. And I keep going back to it, but when I asked Matt LaFleur if he knew what the injury was and how it happened, he said, oh, I know what it is, which I don't know if he does. He knows it's his back. But he has no idea how it happened or when it happened. And to me, that just raises alarm bells.
Jason, after watching last night's game, and the only reason I bring this up is because it's two NFC teams, was last night's game, does it tell us, I know it's only one game, but does it tell us that we might be inflating how good Tampa Bay is while underestimating how good Dallas could maybe be? I look at it from the standpoint of, I didn't think there's any way in this world before last night's game that Dallas in a meaningful game could beat Green Bay. Now I'm not so sure, and I know it's only one game.
Yeah, I would say this. I enjoyed everybody giving Mike McCarthy a hard time for his play calling, even though he's not the play caller. Kellen Moore is the play caller, and how many times did Dak drop back? Like 60 plus dropbacks?
58. Yeah.
But they saw an opportunity there, right? I mean, that secondary was pretty darn bad last night for Tampa Bay. So I don't want to take too much from one game either, but I will say this, and the Saints are in a similar situation as Tampa Bay was last night. When your secondary stinks and teams just feel like they can throw and throw and throw and throw on you, you're going to be in trouble in this league, especially against good quarterbacks. And so, you know, I'm curious to see how the Packers fare against the Saints, given they're trying to acquire cornerbacks all week long. They're like the Ravens with running backs, and that can't be a good sign for your defense. So I don't know if there's any lasting impressions you take from either team last night, but I will say this. Dak Prescott looked better than I expected for a guy that had his ankle pointing his foot the wrong way the last time I saw him on a football field. And Tampa Bay's got some issues, but every team does. And they've still got the GOAT playing quarterback.
Jason, what's going to be the thing that you are trying to pay attention to the most during the Packers-Saints game on Sunday? What is the one thing that you want to see the most and are excited for the most going into that game?
Well, I mean, there's obviously a ton of things, right? Especially when Aaron Rodgers is starting what could be his last dance that we've talked so much about. But, you know, and I'm not the connoisseur of offensive line play that Tausch is, or that Frank Winters will be when I call Frank later today about something. But I'm really curious about this offensive line, because we have been told repeatedly, that Elgton Jenkins is not a drop-off from David Bakhtiari. You know, there's nobody's worried about that. And I've never seen a team be without a five-time All-Pro player and the mentality be, well, we'll be fine. That just isn't typical. And then starting two rookie offensive linemen simultaneously, it hasn't happened since 2006. And that was when they drafted three offensive linemen, and all three of them ended up starting at least 10 games apiece. Tony Mall, Jason Spitz, and Darren College. You know, I think they're really fortunate. And I know Hurricane Ida has wreaked more havoc than just on the Saints' schedule. But I think the Packers are really fortunate that they don't have to play with this offensive line, with their left tackle missing and two rookies starting, in New Orleans. And that it's going to be, even if it's not a Packers home game in Jacksonville, at the very least, it will not be anywhere near as challenging noise-wise as it would be in the Superdome. So, to me, how that offensive line holds up and what it allows Aaron Rodgers to do is the thing that I'm most curious
about. Jason, is there anything to Zadarius not being elected a captain for 3 years in a row?
Because we don't know the truth and we only have our suspicions, that makes it hard to answer that. But I saw his tweet where he said, wow, 11 minutes after the tweet that listed the captain. And, Mike Smith tried to make light of it and say, well, you know, he had seen how many wings the coaches were eating earlier at that point in the day, which I appreciate him trying to make light of the situation. But, again, he's got plausible deniability. Maybe he said, wow, because he was watching, a replay of some English Premier League soccer game on television or something. But the bottom line is, and I said this to someone who asked me the same question from inside the building yesterday, I mean, I don't know, you're the one who's a former player. Like, would you vote for a guy that you think might be extending an injury and putting your team in some measure of peril for the opener, for a game that actually counts? Like, I would, if I was a player, you tell me if I'm wrong on this, Jew, I'd be like, look, if you need to do what you need to do during training camp, that's fine. But this is, I'm not going to compare it completely to Sterling Sharp and what he did, but we're kind of getting into that territory if this is not an injury that should be keeping him off the field.
Jason, before
I wouldn't vote for him.
Before we let you go, Jason.
No, I wouldn't either.
Today is National TV Dinner Day. Where do you stand on TV dinners, yay or nay?
Have they improved since my youth?
I can't imagine.
That's not the question.
They don't use tinfoil anymore, Jason.
I have not had a TV dinner in a really, really long time. Probably 1997, most likely. So I guess my stance is I am not a supporter of them.
All right. That's good to know. Appreciate your time, Jason. Enjoy watching Packers-Saints on Sunday. We look forward to hearing you and Tausch coming up in about 90 minutes.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, All Packers All the Time. We're going to shift gears now. Talk to Craig Carmson coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Carmison.
I literally had no idea until like that night when people called me and were like, you can't do that to people. Like, he was literally crying and we were playing two-on-two basketball.
Fridays with Mo.
He can't bench the bar.
No, he can now. He's been doing... Craig, what are you up to on the bench? You got to be up to what, like 145 now?
140? No.
So
no.
I've been working out.
GKB President Craig Carmison on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
I feel like I want to start with Craig where we just ended with Jason. Because, I mean, Craig's a busy guy, single guy, maybe doesn't always have time to make dinner. Craig, where do you come down on TV dinners? Are you for or against TV dinners?
Aren't TV dinners from like 1960?
It's national.
No.
It's National TV Dinner Day, so I'm guessing they're still a thing.
No, they're not a thing. TV dinners are over. Yeah. There's not even a. I don't even know what a TV dinner is.
I mean, they're definitely
not. Let me just tell you this. There is nothing better than Salisbury steak. It is so good. I don't know what it is.
So is a TV dinner something that you put in the microwave? Like, is that the definition of a TV dinner?
Well, yeah, I mean, the TV dinner I think of, it's Kid Cuisine and Hungry Man.
Hungry Man, yep.
Hungry Man's, yeah.
Michelinas?
I probably had a TV dinner.
What about Michelinas? Yep. Michelinas, Banquet, Stouffer's.
Oh, Banquet.
Banquet
used to get for like 10 for 10.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm not up on Banquet. Is that a...
That's the red box, I
think,
right?
Yeah, that is the red box.
But, like, is ramen...
Oh, I know my TV dinners.
Is ramen like a TV dinner?
No, ramen's ramen.
Yeah, I would agree.
Gabe, number one, you don't ask someone if they had TV dinners if they had butlers growing up as kids or never mowed a lawn or never shoveled a driveway. That is not a good sample.
You know what? Okay.
The only
you're
butler
100% right
I had as a kid was Leroy in this, and is a free safety. A strong safety.
Did you watch last night's game?
I was at Summerfest and watched. Got home midway. I guess I got home for the last drive of the second quarter.
Hold on, were
and
you?
I got to see the whole second half.
Were you at Sheryl Crow, Chris Stapleton?
No, I was just kind of wandering around the grounds, just kind of hanging out. There was I know you were there, Chewy. You could feel the buzz.
I knew
you
were there.
You could tell.
I knew you were there because I got people out there that said, "Hey, Craig's here."
Yep, that's how it is. Last night was the first night you had the true Summerfest buzz. It felt like Summerfest. It was crowded, not too crowded. The weather was great. There were great shows. Like, I watched some show on the Miller Lite, Oasis. A young guy was great. Like, it was just chewy. Last night was great at Summerfest, wasn't it?
Yeah, it would have been great if they bumped it up like 6 hours, and it would have really been great. But
it does. You can get there at noon if you want. So Crow, you thought was solid.
She was good, yeah. Yeah, very good, quick. I think she played for an hour 10 minutes, hit all her top songs. And then Chris Stapleton songs. But I don't understand, Craig, why does it bother people? Like, I was sitting in my chair just not bothering anybody, just sitting there listening. Why does that bother people?
You're saying that you weren't standing up?
No. Why do you have to stand up?
No, I'm saying, why are you saying that? I mean, I think people like to stand up. People like to stand up on benches at Summerfest. People like to stand a lot at Summerfest. I've definitely noticed that.
No, I know, but if you're sitting, if someone was sitting in a chair next to you and you're up and you can't really dance, but you're shaking, like, why does it bother you if someone's sitting down?
It shouldn't. I mean, at Summerfest, I will say, I've gotten yelled at Summerfest actually for talking during a concert. And I'm like, can you really hear me? Is that really bothering you? Like, I'm watching a show and sitting and talking. Like, why is that bothering you? Like, you could be up and dancing, and I'm sitting and talking and watching the show.
And that's how I was. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't get it. But so last night's game, you watched a little bit of it. And I asked Jason this question. I said, are we overvaluing Tampa Bay and undervaluing Dallas?
Yes. I think we are. I think that Dak Prescott, showed who he is. I think they have a great offensive line, and I think they have a competitive defense. So, I think we are. But, in the power rankings, like, Dallas has been in the top 10. So, I mean, they're ahead of a lot of those NFC West teams. So, I think people who are really looking at it have seen their roster and see Dallas as a competitive team this year.
Sorry, I've distracted. Have you done anything to a guy named Tim Craig? Because he is, like, he hits us up on the talk and text line, 800-990-3776, because I mentioned that you were a busy guy. Because Craig is a busy guy, but Tim wants to know, is he really a busy guy or just a figurehead? Then goes, Chewy just made my point, wandering around Summerfest, but he's a really busy guy. Like, what did you do to Tim that he does not like?
Is that negative?
Dude, I think Tim's right. I think everyone in the world is equally busy. So I don't think I'm any busier than anybody else. So I'm with Tim on that one. Yeah, I mean, I think Tampa Bay, I think where I don't understand is, could their run defense be that good where Dallas was just like, all right, we're just going to not use Ezekiel Elliott last night. I mean, that was the thing that blew me away. As good as Dak Prescott was throwing for 400 yards, Dallas was basically one-dimensional throughout the night.
I mean, both teams were pretty much one-dimensional throughout the night because Tampa Bay didn't really
run
the ball.
Right? Didn't we assume that with Tampa? I don't know. I thought Dallas, with their offensive line, I thought we were going to see a lot of running. Because even, Even Tampa, if you look at their biggest acquisition, because yeah, everyone was back, it was Giovanni Bernard, and it's because they're trying to make him into James White, which they said 100 times last night.
Yeah, but I mean, on top of that, though, they still had Ronald Jones. They still have Leonard Fournette. They want to run the ball a little bit more. With Dallas, though, they didn't have their best offensive lineman last night. Zach Martin was out because he had tested positive for COVID-19. Right. He's their best offensive lineman, an interior lineman, very important to their run games. Without him, maybe they just felt that they needed to throw the ball.
Yeah, I guess. But I think when we look at the NFC, this is Chewy. I don't know if I remember a year where there's as many teams. Like when you just say like yes, no, is it possible for them to go to the Super Bowl? You know, we're only really talking about, you know, from a few divisions, one or two. Like if you throw the Vikings in as a second, I don't think Chewy's ever been a big enough Kirk Cousins guy to throw the Vikings in. But I think half the NFC could end up in the Super Bowl this year, at least.
You think so?
I don't know.
And the entire NFC West.
You actually think Dallas?
I would say only Dallas. Only Dallas from the East. I would throw the Vikings in with the Packers.
No. Don't go there.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Vikings are going to be better this year, and I think they could be a playoff team, but I don't think they're a Super Bowl team.
I would throw Jameis Winston in there. I wouldn't eliminate the Saints. I think, you know, how they could come together, you know, throughout the year. They have a good defense, and Winston might be as good as Breeze was the last few years. And, you know, along with Tampa. And then I think you have that entire NFC West where all four of those teams could go.
You're crazy with New Orleans.
Why?
No, there's,
you wouldn't have said I was crazy.
The Rams can, the Niners can, the Bucks can, and the Packers can. That's it.
The Seahawks?
There's no one else, Craig. No, Seahawks. Seahawks start out.
Seahawks are going to miss
fire.
The playoffs.
Every year, there's going to be the, how can't Russell Wilson have any MVP votes in the first four games, and then he tanks. And then they're just a team that just slips into the playoffs and does nothing. Seattle has no chance. No chance.
Cardinals.
There's four teams, and that's it.
Cardinals.
Cardinals scare me. Cardinals are Tennessee a la a couple years ago, can make it to the NFC Championship game, but can't get over the hump. No.
Vikings.
Definitely not the Cardinals.
Vikings with their defense was like bad last year, but I think their defense is good.
Gabe,
and they have two great receivers. They have a great running back. They have a solid enough quarterback. I know everyone wants to hate on them. The Vikings are good. Don't sleep on
Vikings.
The Vikings
defense is not the same
as it was
3 years
ago. The Vikings have the potential to be better, and I like the potential to be better because I don't think their defense is going to be as bad last year because they went out, they signed some guys, and Mike Zimmer's just not going to have a bad defense back-to-back years. He's one of the most respected defensive minds in the game. That being said, they're not going to the Super Bowl.
But Craig, one other quick thing.
Contender.
Craig,
and I said that as I did when Christian Ponder was their starter, and Chewy disagreed with me then. Oh wait, I guess
Craig.
Right.
One other thing, because we know that your team is the Cleveland Browns for financial reasons,
and they're going to the Super
Bowl. Some insane guy at ESPN actually had them number 2 in the power rankings.
Yes,
now
Mike
he's
Clay.
Crazy, right?
Mike Clay
he's
is
crazy.
Crazy. Right. I mean, they should be number 1. And so I have no idea why they would be number 2. But yes, they are an absolute Super Bowl contender as well.
Chewy, I mean,
I'm kidding. I don't think, by the way, I don't think they should be number 1. But I think they are, I think they're like top 7. And I think any of those teams in the top 7 have a chance to go all the way. Like, I look at the Browns and the Packers, actually, the way I would look at, like, the Brewers and like the White Sox right now. They're like top 4-ish, top 5 teams that have a great chance to go in and go to the World Series or Super Bowl. Like that's where like all those teams are in that upper echelon. They're not the Dodgers, right? They're not the Buccaneers. They're not like the clear-cut favorite, but they're in that next tier where you have to consider them a huge threat to be in the whole, to win the whole thing.
Did you hear my bold prediction this week?
That the Correct. Brewers were going to win the World Series?
No, Aaron Rodgers in Cleveland next year.
Oh. So you think that the Browns disappoint this year, right? Because if the Browns are having a good year, you have to assume Baker Mayfield gets an extension.
I think they take a step back. They're not sold on him. He plays not as good as last year, but regresses a little bit, and it's going to be one of those. Let's go out and get him and make a run. Yeah, I'm telling you. Cleveland fits more than Denver. And Cleveland's a better roster than Denver.
I mean, I buy that, you know, the Packers would rather trade him to the AFC. It's far-fetched, but I guess you never know at this point. I mean, I'm still holding on to a hope. I mean, I may be the last one thinking that, you know, that something happens with Goody and Aaron, and over the course of the year, they actually start to genuinely believe that each other want to work with each other, and that they'd rather do it here together than have to start all over. And
I think Devontae's telling us more about this situation than anything, the fact that he hasn't signed yet.
Totally. But I think that also shows that this isn't just an Aaron Rodgers thing. It's also, you know, because if Devontae Adams said, like, hey, this is the best culture in the NFL, this is the best place to be in the NFL, then I'm going to believe in this team, and I'm going to sign with this team regardless of Aaron Rodgers, because I believe in what this team's building for the future. And I think that's why, you know, Aaron and Devontae are on the same page, and that's why ultimately I just feel like the team will get it at some point. And I don't, it's not like the team has to come so far. I think there's just certain things that those players, and not just Aaron, he's the one who's out in front, but Aaron and Devontae need to see to believe that those guys, you know, want to have the franchise, you know, in line with where their players believe it should be.
Craig, we certainly appreciate the time. We hope you enjoy the weekend of football and wish you luck on any sort of wager you may or may not have.
I have not made it to the gas station in Chicago, but I think I may try to get out there because I'm not that busy, as Tim said.
As Tim pointed out. Appreciate you, Craig.
Thanks, guys.
Craig Carmerson, talk to him every single Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You can build a ring at shop2jc.com. It's easy. The Jewelry Center is where I went when I decided I wanted to get engaged, because it's simple with them. It can be a stressful process. You don't know what you want to get. You're obviously stressed out because you're going to be asking a life-changing question. But the Jewelry Center makes it easy, and they make that whole situation, they make the whole process less stressful. You can go to their website. You can build a ring. You can, if you don't have a clue, just kind of send them some ideas that you find on her Facebook or on her Pinterest. Send those to the Jewelry Center. They'll help you out. Engagement rings start at just $7.99, which is $35 a month, which is great because if you get a little, you know, issue in your credit, don't worry. They can probably help you out because they also have financing interest free. They have three locations in Greenfield, Brookfield, and in Burlington. Also, their website, shoptjc.com. Make sure if you are getting engaged, the one place to go is the Jewelry Center. TV dinners. We debate them next.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And a lot of people are saying, oh, they got me. They got me. A little rope-a-dope there.
What is
if you No, if you bought the fight yesterday,
that's what
you're
they're
an
saying.
Idiot.
You are it.
Say it. Say it.
You're
say
dumbass.
It.
All you're right? a dumbass. You are dumb.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I'm going to peel back the curtain here just for a moment. So every day as we're getting ready for the show, trying to figure out what we want to talk about, one of the defaults that we do and one of the questions that somebody inevitably asks every day is, what is today's national day? So we've gotten into the habit of looking up to see what national day it is. And that is why we have asked Chewy, we have asked Jason today, we have asked Craig today, how they feel about TV dinners. And you were right, I shouldn't have asked Craig, because there's no way he's had a TV dinner in his life. And Jason said he hasn't had one since about 1997. So, but today is National TV Dinner Day. And I haven't had a TV dinner, man, in, kind of like Jason, probably, it's been at least a decade. Like, I can't imagine, I can't picture the last time I actually bought a TV dinner. But everybody, you know, most people, I would say, had TV dinners growing up. I remember the Kid Cuisine, the blue box with the penguin on it, you know, and it comes. And I did a little research on this. I was looking up the pictures of the different Kid Cuisines. It looks like they've kind of gone away from the tray system of, you've got the big tray in the middle with the main part of the meal, and then you've got three trays up top with a couple different veggies, and then a molten lava brownie that's never going to be good. But where do you come down? Are you pro TV dinner or are you anti TV dinner?
Oh, I'm pro. I mean, Hungry Man's, I forget what they call it, but you get two Salisbury steaks with it.
You do.
Oh, but my only question is, Gabe, what are the potatoes? Because they have question. A consistency of kind of like what you would spread for glue when using wallpaper. But I mean, they taste so good.
Are they... I mean, it's got to be similar to whatever those instant mashed potatoes are. Have you ever had those? Like, it's like...
Yeah, but they're not bad. They're actually, they taste... The problem is they don't give you enough, you know?
I mean, that's why you can buy
a
second.
Are we sure that it's actually steak?
Oh, the Salisbury steak?
Yeah, are we sure? What do we think it is?
So no, it's kind of like a hot dog. We don't know what... Well, I kind of know what a hot dog is, but Salisbury steak is kind of the same thing. I mean, you're probably eating a little bit of tongue, a little bit maybe of brain, you know?
So...
Like, hot dogs are basically lips and you know what.
I looked at Hungry Man, and I found a couple of different pictures. There's one of a grilled beef patty, and then one of Salisbury steak.
Same thing.
They look like the same thing.
They're the same thing.
They look exactly like the same thing.
Oh, big news from Hungry Man, though. They've got a new item, Chewy, double meat bowls.
Ooh.
Boneless pork.
That sounds actually pretty good.
Yeah, boneless pork with barbecue sauce and mac and cheese.
But, Gabe, Brett would always make this thing. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it. But
can't
he gave me the recipe, and I've had it a couple times with his family, is hamburger steak. Have you ever heard of hamburger steak?
Was it just like, is it just a hamburger, and you just don't put cheese and a bun on it, and it's no longer a cheeseburger, it's just a hamburger?
Yes, yes. It's kind of like a mini meatloaf, I guess. I don't know why they call it steak, but it's like Salisbury steak. You just, the hamburger steak is you just throw a bunch of spices in, maybe a little Cajun, and real fatty hamburger, and they call it hamburger steak.
Bottom
so it's
line.
Kind of along those lines.
Sean says Marie Callender is the best.
Yeah, I mean, Marie Callender is pot pie, essentially. They do have, they have like turkey.
I love
they have
pot
other
pies.
Like meals, but they're, I mean, Marie Callender is known for pot pie, right?
All right. I'm gonna go around the room. We're going to ask you this, and then we got to hit break here, and then we can continue this conversation because there's going to be a poll about this. I'm not sure what it is yet. When's the last time you had a TV dinner? Ashton?
Let's say at least 8 years.
Chewy?
3 weeks ago.
You had a... No. You had like a Salisbury steak
them.
Hungry?
Yeah, that's kind of my mid-afternoon snack. I go through a grocery store and I'm, ooh, Salisbury steak. Yeah,
man.
Microwave for a minute 30 and just dominate it and crack your teeth on either the peas or corn that's in there.
All right, I got a lot of follow-up questions. We'll get to those coming up next.